Thank the Lord. Now, this evening we continue to fellowship concerning the topic of worship. Do not think that worship is a simple matter. I hope that after the conference, everyone can see this. That we all would become true worshipers of the Father, because the Father is seeking such to worship Him. So the Lord Jesus said, in the Old Testament age, in order to worship God, you needed two things. These two items were a must. We did not read Deuteronomy this evening. Deuteronomy tells us, if you want to worship, first of all, the place has to be right. Where do you worship? The first point is that you have to worship in Jerusalem. I'll write it in English. Jerusalem. Do not think that you can worship anywhere. God told us that that cannot be, that is not allowed. Jerusalem is a place that God has chosen. You cannot go worship anywhere like in your backyard and enjoy the offering and just offer up your sacrifice. All your offerings have to be brought to Jerusalem. So the location is very important. It has to be in Jerusalem because Jerusalem is the building of God. I hope that the saints from Cambodia can all hear this clearly. In the Bible, there are two places mentioned. One is Jerusalem, the place that God has chosen. And the second, a bad place, that's Babylon. Babylon. What's the difference between these two places? Jerusalem was the place that the Lord has chosen. There are 12 tribes, the people of Israel, and the nation is very big. But God chose one place. It's not that the 12 tribes had 12 places. No, there was only one place where they all had to come to worship God. God did not allow His people to build in any old place. He builds one here, I build one there. No, that does not work. That is why a very important principle of Jerusalem is that there's only one place. God's people cannot be divided or be denominated, especially concerning the worship of God and building of the temple, much less could this be done. You have to remember this point. Do not say, oh, you can be there, that's fine, and they are over there, that's okay. And each one has his own place of worship. This is the way how the Gentiles worship their idols. Because each one had their own gods. I like this place, he likes that place. The Samaritans worship on this mountain. So the Gentiles, because they believe in many gods, so you can go there to worship dogs, and you can go over the other side to worship monkeys. Each one had their own place of worship. Our God is unique. There's only one God. You cannot just build something and just worship Him there. If I were in the nation of Israel at that time and I build one place by myself, do you think that God would let me go worship Him over there? It's empty. God is not there. And you go worship there. What are you worshiping? You're worshiping the air. So Jerusalem, in the entire Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, Jerusalem is a very important place. You know, the Jews today, for the Jews today, Jerusalem has a place in their heart. That is a place that they love. It's unfortunate that the enemies had taken over the place by the Muslims. That means to say that the enemy does not want us to have Jerusalem. So without Jerusalem, you will fall into Babylon. The principle of Babylon is dispersion. Each one has his own language, confusion. My views are different from yours. My language is different from yours. You speak Thai, I speak Chinese, he speaks German. Whatever you say, I don't understand, and you don't understand what I say. Then what? Then you go your way, and I go my way. Dispersed. Now let me ask you, in Cambodia, are you one or are you scattered? The body of Christ is only one. There's only one. Amen. We have to stand on the ground of oneness. We cannot be divided. If we are divided, Babylon will appear, and there will be confusion. Everything can creep in. You have your views, I have my views. You want to worship in this way, and I want to worship in that way. And you think this way is worship, and he thinks differently. Do you think worshiping God is a simple matter? If it were simple, the Father would not need to seek the true worshipers, right? If it is easy to worship God, do you think the Father needs to seek those who truly worship Him? Would the Father still need to seek? Did He find you yet? Then are you a true worshiper of God? It's not that simple. Truly not so simple. Do not think that this is a simple thing. That's why, brothers, today, we don't want to be in Babylon. We Christians have to truly be in this oneness. Besides, this oneness has to be the oneness in the triune God. I'm afraid that even concerning the worship of the Father, you have your own opinions. If you have your own opinions, then you don't need to come here to listen about the true worshipers. What are you here for? So, brothers and sisters, Jerusalem in the Old Testament age, Jerusalem was an earthly place, and today Jerusalem is a heavenly one. Are you heavenly or are you earthly? It's easier to be earthly. If you want to go to the earthly Jerusalem, you can just take a plane and you can go there. But if you want to go to the heavenly Jerusalem, can you take the Thai Air? How are you going to get up there? Tell me. Is the church in Penang, or the church in Georgetown, a heavenly or an earthly one? We say we are the church. It's easy to say that. But what kind of a church is it? Is it an earthly one or is it a heavenly one? Are we heavenly or are we earthly? And how can we become a heavenly Jerusalem? You know, brothers and sisters, Jerusalem is not just a principle of oneness. There's the meaning of oneness there. But our oneness is heavenly. Because the earthly one, for the earthly one, it's impossible to be one. If we are heavenly, would we fight with one another? Would we have different opinions? Would we? Go up to the heavens and take a look to see whether the angels are fighting with one another every day. Michael would be fighting with Gabriel every day. How about that? In Revelation. Oh, you don't need to go up to the heavens. You just go read Revelation and you'll find out what the situation in the heavens is like. There is no quarreling, no fighting there. Do you believe that? It's only the earthly one. It's only in the earthly one that there will be quarreling. And the place where you are at, is there fighting every day? Then is there fighting in the church? Are you quarreling here in the church in Bangkok? And each one has his own opinion? If it is heavenly, would your opinion still be needed? You'll be picking a fight here and there. You do not come to hear the word of the Lord, but you came to criticize. Now, what's the use of that? That is why the Old Testament is earthly, but the New Testament Jerusalem is a heavenly one. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. Then there's a big problem. You then need to ask, are you heavenly or are you earthly? Let's not talk about doctrines. I want to talk about practically, Sunday. I'm sorry, you don't need to answer me. Brother Kihu, you help me. We in the church here, are we earthly or are we heavenly? Are we of the flesh or are we of the spirit? If we are heavenly, then we should be spiritual. And the earthly one is of the flesh. If you are spiritual and so am I, then would we be fighting one with another? Now, if you are spiritual, but I am fleshly, would we then fight? You wouldn't, but I would. Even if you don't want to fight with me, I will still be picking at you. Let's not talk about the doctrine, we are the church. Is this an earthly, a fleshly, soulish, earthy church? You know, if you ask me about the church, I cannot say anything. What should I say? I heard many say, oh, we are the church, but they're fighting with one another every day. Is that the church? Does our Lord Jesus have a quarrelsome church? If children fight with one another, we can still accept that, but we grown-ups fighting with one another? Children may fight, but if the parents are fighting with one another each day, is that a good thing? Although they quarrel, yet they still can stand up here and give a message. If I were you, if I quarrel with others, then I wouldn't have the face to stand up here to speak. Otherwise, when I go home, my wife would say, how come you lose your temper and you pick a fight and you can still give a message? Are we heavenly? Are we spiritual? Or are we fleshly? Don't talk about teachings. Let's not talk about one city, one church, and that is the church. Is it that simple? One city, one church, and then you're the church? It even rhymes. Do you think that one city, one church, and you're the church? The Lord Jesus told the church in Sardis, you have a name that you're living, but you're dead. Then you have to say, one city, one dead church. Do you think that our Lord wants a dead church? Let's not talk about teachings. We all need to repent before the Lord. We need to change. Otherwise, how can you be heavenly? You want to be heavenly, then you need to live in your spirit. In spirit, our spirits are joined unto the Lord's spirit. We're one spirit with the Lord, and that can bring you to the heavens. Although our flesh is here, but our spirit is seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Only this is the church. Today the church is Jerusalem, but it is not earthly, although it is still Jerusalem. It's only there that you can worship the Father. Oh Lord. I hope that we can all wake up. It's easy to build an earthly one. Everybody just gather together. But it's all the flesh. What's the use of coming together? If you want the heavenly Jerusalem, you must be in the Spirit. It's a must. You must be in the Spirit. Because this is what the Lord Jesus said. A true worship of the Father must be in spirit and in reality. This is very important. Now let's come to Hebrews, where we read this evening. Hebrews says that you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. A heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to Zion. There's a Zion on this earth, and that's in Palestine. But today, we in the church should be Mount Zion. Whether or not we are it does not depend on my saying that we are it. In the Bible, Zion is the city of the great king. It's the city of the great king, right? Yes. This is Zion. Then I have to ask our Lord Jesus whether he is king here. Or are you the king? Who is king? If it is Zion, then our Lord Jesus Christ should be the king here. It's not man being the king. It's not you who are the Lord. And you should not scold people loosely or quarrel loosely. Are you not afraid of the King Jesus Christ? Zion. It's not that easy. The Lord Jesus said, in Jerusalem, he is king. It's the seat of his throne. That's where the seat of his throne dwells. In our church life, Do we have the throne of Christ? Only this is the church. What should I say? Is this a teaching? No. We have to let him be king. If the brothers and sisters would ask me, oh, we have this problem or that problem in our church here, what should we do? I would tell them, bring it before the throne and ask the king. Don't we have a king? Do we not have a king seated on the throne, and you have no way to bring your problem up there to ask him? The Lord can be my witness for all the problems in the church. I bring them all before the throne. I am not capable to solve all the problems. If I come solve it, I won't be able to solve it. But when he comes solve it, then the problem is solved. Are you not afraid? Are you not afraid? There's the throne of God in the church. Truly so. Do not think that there's no throne here. I really hope that our Lord will show forth or manifest his judgment. Otherwise, people are not afraid. You don't fear God. Hebrews chapter 12 says, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And I skip over to the second half of verse 23. To God, the judge of all. Do you have it? In your church, is there the God, the judge of all? Do you fear God's judgment? Let me tell you all. If we are too much, although our God is a God of mercy, although our God is very patient, but God's word shows us that he is also a God who judges. If our flesh is too much, at least God would come discipline you. In chapter 12, it tells us, because our Father loves us, so he chastens us. I forgot to tell you this morning, our Abba Father is also one who spanks us. Do not think that he will not discipline you. If he doesn't discipline you, then he has already let you go. Because it's useless to discipline you. He cannot discipline you anymore, so he'll just let you go. And the judgment will come. Do not think that you can be loose in the church. It's Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's the city of the living God. And there is the God, the judge of all. To God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. It's not only the spirit of man, but it's the spirits of just men. Do you know why oftentimes God has no way to perfect us? We've been Christians for so many years, yet the Lord has no way to perfect us. Because we are not just men. We have done a lot of unjust things. You have done a lot of unrighteous things and you still want God to come perfect you? Besides, even if you were a just person, a righteous person, you still need to live in the Spirit because God, the Father God, is Spirit and He will perfect the spirits of just men. How come it's so clearly, explicitly described in the Scripture? That's why if you want to be in the heavenly Jerusalem, you need to be a just person, a righteous man. It's not easy. On top of that, you have to live in your spirit. It's the spirits of just men. I don't believe that people who are not in their spirit could be righteous men. The Bible did not say that it's just men who live in their flesh. Here it also says it's a church of the firstborn, the general assembly and church of the firstborn. This is a simple translation according to the original text. The general assembly of the church of the firstborn. Let me ask you, are you a son of God or are you the firstborn son of God? Why? Because the Lord Jesus is the firstborn Son of God, and we also have part in Him as the firstborn Son. Don't think that you just read about it and you understand it. The firstborn Son, only the firstborn can be the King. Only the firstborn who has a birthright can have a double portion of the inheritance. If you don't care for your birthright, you lose it and you sell it off. You cannot be part of the firstborn. Do you think that if we believe that we are heavenly and then we're heavenly? Sister, are you heavenly or not heavenly? Yes? Are we heavenly or are we not heavenly? oftentimes we don't dare to say that. Because we know that oftentimes we are in the flesh. That is why this evening, I hope that all the brothers and sisters can realize the church of the Lord is not that simple. It's not as simple as we are it, and so we are it. Is it like that? The book of Hebrews tells us that we've come to Mount Zion. There's a God who judges here. And we also have the Lord Jesus here. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, verse 24. Because sometimes we may do something wrong, so we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us. But you also have to need to repent. Don't think that you have the precious blood so you don't need to repent. No, it's not like that. Brothers and sisters, today the church is not just a matter of one city, one church. Then you also need to ask the question, you're one city, what kind of a church are you? And then we also need to worship our Father God. So, your understanding of the church needs to grow deeper and deeper as the days go by. So within you, you need the longing within you, a desire within you to say, Lord, with your help, may I be a heavenly person. The first man is earthly, is of the flesh, but the second man came down from heaven. He's heavenly and he's spiritual. So in order to worship the Father, we have to be in Jerusalem. That's the Old Testament Jerusalem. But the Lord Jesus said that in the New Testament, we have to be in spirit. We need to use our spirit. So this morning we saw that we have a spirit. Our spirit should be living. And truly filled by the Holy Spirit. And we're one with our Lord. It's only in this way that we can be a heavenly and spiritual Jerusalem. This is the first condition. The Lord Jesus said it's no longer in the earthly Jerusalem. Some people say, oh, it's not in the earthly Jerusalem, so today we can be any old place. This is the thought of fallen man. Don't speak nonsense. There in the Bible, there's a heavenly Jerusalem. It's still Jerusalem, but it's heavenly. Now I need to ask you. I ask a lot of questions, but I need your help. Tell me, is the standard of the earthly Jerusalem higher, or the heavenly Jerusalem has a higher standard? Which standard is higher? The earthly Jerusalem or the heavenly Jerusalem? Philip? You should say, of course it is heavenly. Don't just say heavenly. You should say it with emphasis. Of course, it's heavenly. Now I need to ask you, in the church where you're at, how high is the standard? If you answer, of course the heavenly, is that a doctrine or is that the reality? You say you understand Hebrews chapter 12. Whether you understand or not, it doesn't matter. The question is it heavenly? We need to ask ourselves. And we also need to ask the Lord to examine us, to search us, to examine us. To give us an x-ray, even an MRI. So that everything that's hidden within us would be exposed. The last time you went to see the heavenly doctor, did you get an MRI? When was the last time you had a heavenly MRI? You're all congested within you and you don't even know about it. And the artery within you has become so plugged up and you still don't know about it. You're terribly wrong and you still think you're right. That is why, when we talk about this point, we truly need the Lord's mercy. The hour is come, and now is. That was said 2,000 years ago, up until today. Do you dare to say that you are a true worshiper of the Father? You think that the Lord's table is worship? You are wrong, wrong, and wrong again. If the Lord's table is the worship of the Father, what am I talking about here? You can all go home. I won't get upset. You can go home. You can say, John, you can stop. We're already worshiping the Father for a few hundred years, you know. Why would I need to continue to speak? Should I continue? Or should you all just go home? The sister is already tired over there. So, brothers and sisters, we need to have compassion for our Father today. We have to learn. We need to be poor in spirit and to seek the Father for Him to shine upon us. Otherwise, this conference is of no use to us. So the first point is Jerusalem. And the second point in the worship of God, what do we need? We need the offerings. We need the offerings. You need the offerings. Without the offerings, God said you cannot come empty-handed. We have Bible verses here written down. It's B3 on page 3. None shall come empty-handed. You cannot come empty-handed. You need to bring the offerings. We'll read that tomorrow. But for today, in order to worship our Father, we need the offerings. Do not think that offerings are a simple matter. The offerings are not simple. You have to read Leviticus chapters 1 through 7 100 times. In order to understand how you should bring the offerings to offer them up to the Father. That is why in Deuteronomy, God told them repeatedly, you have to come to Jerusalem to worship the Father, to worship God. And you have to bring your offerings. Your burnt offerings, your peace offerings, your meal offerings, your first fruits, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. All these are what the Father wants. Besides, that is what you have labored on in the good land, what you have produced through the labor of your hands. That's grown up, grown out of the ground. Manna cannot be used as an offering because manna descended from heaven for you to eat. If you collect a little more, the following day, there will be worms. The next day, there will be worms. You cannot use manna to offer up to God. But the Lord said, if you enter into the good land and you till the ground and you raise the cattle, they're sheep, and they've got the goats, and they're also the first fruits. You need to bring them as offerings to be offered up to God. Now, in the Old Testament age, that's the cattle, the flocks, the pigeons, and the first fruits. It's a fine flour, etc. Those are just a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. But they are not the reality. The reality today is the Lord Jesus. It's our Lord. That's the Lord Jesus. And what else? In the New Testament age, the Lord Jesus is the reality of all the offerings. In Chinese, it's translated into sincerity and honesty. Then I have to ask you, are you honest? Fine, if you're truly honest, then it's still okay. But even though you may be honest, what then? So what? You need to be bringing your offerings. Some translated it as the truth. Then you speak the truth. It's not just the truth, but it's the reality. If you say that's the truth, then the Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. In order to understand the truth and the reality, you have to understand it according to the Bible. Otherwise, what you going to do? That is why you have to be the heavenly Jerusalem, and that's in the Spirit. And you also need the Lord Jesus Christ as the reality of all the offerings. With these two items, it's only with these two items that we can be the true worshippers of the Father. Without these two things, without them, what are you going to do? How are you going to worship? Tell me. Are you a person who lives in your spirit each day? Besides, you are experiencing Christ as your reality daily. There are all types and kinds of offerings. You have to understand what all these different types of offerings are. And then you need to experience these offerings in your spirit. That's why with the offerings and in the spirit, when you come to the meetings, at the end of the Lord's table, you can offer up these offerings to the Father. You cannot come empty-handed. Now tell me, is worship easy? There's a sheep, there's a cows, and there are pigeons, and there's a fine flower. That's relatively easy. That's easier. But today, it's a spiritual offerings. It's Jesus Christ as your burnt offering. Perhaps you don't even understand what the burnt offering is about. What is the meal offering? What is the peace offering? What is the wave offering? What's a heave offering? What is the sin offering, the trespass offering? There's so many offerings. Without them, how are we going to worship? Right? Do you want to be a true worshiper? Do you? Yes? Brothers, do you want to be true worshipers? Amen. Then you need to learn. You need to learn. You need to labor daily. Experience Christ. For the purpose of bringing the offerings. The offerings are not to offer to the people. The offerings are for the worship to the Father. The night before last, or rather it's a Lord's Day evening, I was having some fellowship with the young people. I told them to give a testimony. Testimonies are for the unbelievers. The Lord Jesus said, "You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses." We testify, we witness to the others that our Lord Jesus is a true God who came to this earth to die for you. We have to give this testimony and the sharing. Like what is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that's for the edification of the brothers and the sisters. The testimonies are for the unbelievers. And you can also give some testimonies before the brothers and sisters. But when you have some sharing, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says that the sharing is for the edification of the saints. But bringing the offerings, that is 100%, totally, for the Father. I cannot give an offering to you unless you're a God. Suravit, can I bring an offering to you? No. Offerings are totally, entirely for God. Because only God is worthy of our worship. That is why these offerings are 100% for God, not for man. So you need to bring the reality of Christ. Don't give a message, and much less should you be bringing something fake. And it's also not for your own glory, but it is to be offered up for the enjoyment of the Father. This is the true worship. This evening I have to ask you, do you want to do this? To satisfy the desire or the request of the Father? Do you want to learn? Otherwise, we come to the meetings and we didn't bring any offerings with us. You just come empty-handed to eat the bread that the Lord provided for you. The bread is for you to eat. The Lord Jesus, that's doing this in remembrance of me. That's not for the worship of the Father. He didn't say to worship the Father with that, but to remember me. So the bread is for you to eat, so that you'll remember the Lord. He is the bread. It's not for the Abba Father to eat, but it's for you to eat. Don't think that just by saying a sheer thank you, and that's worship to the Father. Is it that simple? Of course, you should be saying thank you. That is understood. But in order to worship Him, it's not for Him to give you something to eat, but you need to give something to Him to eat. The Bible says that the offerings are God's food, food for God. He feeds you. That is for you to eat. It's your food. But do you bring anything along for Him to eat as well? Do we bring anything for the Father to eat? I have to ask everybody. Brother Furong, when we come to the meeting, do we prepare some food that satisfies God so that He would have something to eat? The Lord's table is for you to eat, not for the Father to eat. And the cup is also for you to drink. But a drink offering is for you to bring the wine and pour it out for God to drink. We come to the meeting and we just want God to give us food to eat. I don't know if you're filled or not. Well, that's beside the point. But have we prepared anything? Have we prepared any food for God to eat? Do you think that if we give a message, then it's for God, food for God to eat? God doesn't want to eat your message. God's word, it's His word. He doesn't need for you to come speak His word for Him to listen. Our testimony is also not for God to hear. Because God knows Christ. I don't know how many tens of thousands times better than you do. The offerings are the Christ that you have labored on daily in your experience. Besides, you have to bring the best part. And then you bring this to offer up to the Father. You know, after our Lord Jesus resurrected, He was the firstborn from among the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, He was the first fruit in resurrection. Now He has become a first fruit, and the first one who met Him was Mary. And when Mary saw Him, she wanted to touch Him. But the Lord Jesus says, "Do not touch Me, because I have to go to My Father before I go to My Father, you cannot touch Me." Why? Because the Lord Jesus is a first fruit. Firstly, if He had to first be offered up to the Father, nobody could touch Him. The first fruit is not for man to eat, but it is firstly for God to enjoy. So He told Mary, He says, "Go tell My brethren." Now I have to go to My Father, to My God, it's also your God. Why did He have to ascend? Because He's a first fruit. So He had to be offered up first. For the Father's enjoyment, not for man's enjoyment first. Even our Lord Jesus had to be offered up to the Father as a first fruit. And don't you need to offer up your offerings? Amen. I hope we all have the desire, a heart to learn. That we desire to learn. It Leviticus tells us that the offerings are of free will. No one can force you to bring your offerings. Don't go home and tell your brothers, oh, you need to bring your offerings. They offered up of their own free will. If you don't want to do it, nobody would force you. But we cannot stop others from bringing their offerings to the Father. No one can force you to do that. If you love the Father, you love the Abba Father, you're willing to worship Him, then you have to bring your free will offering. Do not be a lazy Christian, not caring. Neither should you be lazy when you have to grasp all the opportunities daily to experience the Lord. How about that? Tomorrow morning we will fellowship concerning point B, the offerings. I think we can finish in 3.5 days. Amen. The time is up.